You know, I just realized that I don't think I ever see Pastor drink any water when he's standing up here talking. And I don't understand how he manages to do that, because I guess I'm just not used to talking this much. So when I get up here and get to rambling on, that my mouth gets real dry, so I have to drink water. But I don't have to talk a whole lot at work, unless I'm screaming at the spreadsheet for not doing what it's supposed to do. But normally, I don't have to talk a whole lot at work, so this is kind of exercise for me. So bear with me, please. And like I said, I have two teenage daughters at home, so they do plenty of talking, and I don't get to say a whole lot. So that's kind of how it goes. As you may or may not know, which first of all, welcome to any visitors we have. I see we have probably some people brought their family. Visitors, yes. Okay, what's her first name?
Carly.
Okay, so let's pray for her real fast. Father God, we want to lift Carly up to you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we don't know where she's at. We don't know anything about what's going on, but God, you know. You know every minute detail of the entire situation. So, Father God, we just pray, Lord, that your will be done in her life, Father. Your word's very clear that Jesus bore the stripes on his own back for our healing, that you want us to have that full, abundant life, God, that Jesus paid for. So, Father, we just pray that over Carly's life in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you give wisdom to the people that are there with her so they know what they're supposed to do and what you want them to do and what you want them not to do, God. But Father, above all things, we want your will to be done, Lord. And we know what your word says your will is, God. So we thank you so much that we can come to you. We thank you that there's no distance with you. There's no worry about time with you, God. You are outside of all of that. You are right there with her, just as close to her as you are to us right now, in Jesus' name, Father. So we lift her up to you, and Father, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you so much for working that out for Carly, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, back. Where was I at in my list? Oh yeah, we're welcoming the visitors this morning. That's what's next on my list. So welcome to our visitors. As you can see, Pastor Eric and Trevor are gone visiting their kids this week. So you get me. Now, by nature, I'm a teacher. I'm not really much of a preacher. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But remember how Pastor talked about the five offices of the church? You know, apostle, pastor, evangelist, or apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So I'm the pinky. I'm the teacher. So most people don't put a whole lot of thought into the pinky unless they're at a little girl's tea party. Then they focus on the pinky, right? So I'm going to do my hardest not to teach you today, because that's not what today's about. So I'm going to need all the help I can get. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2. And then we'll pray. Let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord God. Father, you are powerful. You are mighty. You are great, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us today. We thank you for setting aside a time for us to come together and to worship you as a corporate body, worship you in one accord, Lord God, and to be able to receive from you in a corporate body, God. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for giving us this season of the year, this Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the first coming, the first advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, Lord. And Father, as we hear what you have for us today, I know that I have notes and I have a rough plan, an idea. But Father God, I want your will to take precedent, God. So, Father, I just pray that I will decrease, Lord, that my thoughts, that my words, that my ideas, my agenda will decrease, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you will increase in this place today, Lord. I'm relying on you, Lord God. We have come expecting something from you today because we know that you always have something special for each of us, both as a group, and you have something for us as individuals, God. So we just pray that you give us ears to hear and you give us hearts to receive what your Holy Spirit has for us today, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us, that he opens our spiritual eyes so that we can see what your word is showing us, God, that we can receive what you're trying to tell us, Lord. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for the birth of Jesus. We thank you for sending your son to be born of a poor family, to be the lowest of the low of society, God, to show us that you have come for all people. And Father, we thank you that there would be no cross, there would be no sacrifice if there wasn't a birth first. So Father, we want to remind ourselves at all times, Lord, that the birth of Christ is the reason that we have this season of the year. It's the reason that we celebrate. It's the reason that we have the joy and we have the hope and we have the love that we talk about and the peace of our Advent candles, Lord God. All of this is to celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm going to try not to teach because as a teacher, you know, at Christmas, it's my nature to want to talk about how, you know, there wasn't really three wise men. There was just wise men. There wasn't, you know, and Jesus wasn't really born in December and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what we're going to do today. So we're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 25 because we're going to talk about a couple people in the Bible who got to meet Jesus and their life was different after that. Luke chapter 2 verse 25 tells us the story of Simeon. Verse 25 starts, says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." So stop there. As we look at the story of Simeon here, try to put yourself in his shoes. Now, this was a guy that probably knew that there was something different about that day when he woke up that morning. He felt like it was a different day than every other day. The Bible says that God told him that he would not see death until he saw the Christ, until he saw the Messiah. So he felt different. It says he was led by the Spirit into the temple. Now, have you ever had one of those times where something just felt different? Like you were driving home and for some reason you just felt you should go a different way today than you normally go. And you just thought, you know, I should drive a different route home than what I normally do. a lot of times we have situations like that, and we come to realize later that it was God directing us because He was preventing us from ending up in an accident or in a crash or something. So whether we recognize it or not, God is always leading us and always guiding us. I can remember years ago. I say years because it's funny to me. Back before my wife and I were even married, we were still dating. I was working at a fast food place here in town, and we ran out of French fries. Can you believe a fast food place ran out of French fries? So I had to drive to Clarksville to pick up French fries to bring them back so that we weren't completely out. So being, you know, a 16-year-old kid, I thought, hey, I'll get my girlfriend to ride with me. So I was driving. I mean, I got to set the scene for you guys. This was awesome. I was a 16-year-old kid. I'd got rid of the mullet by now. So, I mean, I was cool as cool can get. I was driving a bright red Pontiac Firebird with T-tops. I mean, I had my smoking hot girlfriend in the passenger seat with me. I mean, this was the life, okay? So we were speeding down Highway 79 heading to Clarksville. And most of you probably driven that way before. You know how when you go up the hill, it gives you two lanes, and then it goes down to one lane, and then it goes up two lanes. Well, of course, I'm driving a, you know, bright red sports car, you know, 16-year-old kid. I got my girlfriend riding with me. So, buddy, I was passing cars left and right. Every time we got a space to pass cars, I was passing cars, you know, because I was a pretty cool guy, if you hadn't figured out already. So, I mean, this was perfect. And as we got to one point, we were almost losing the passing lane. And I thought, you know, I'm driving a, you know, this is a sports car. I got a V8 under the hood. You know, I could punch it and I could pass this one last car before we lose the passing lane. And I started to, and then I stopped. And something prevented me from doing that. I didn't think about it much at the time. I thought, well, I'll catch him on the next one. Don't worry about it. So we get up a couple miles down the road. Guy coming the other way loses control. His back end swings out, and the car I would have passed slammed right into it. So that would have been us. That would have been me if God had not prevented that. So I can see that there was something different after that. That God was doing something. Yeah, I was a 16-year-old kid. I just got saved. I was still trying to figure all this stuff out. That's why I'm speeding down the highway like an idiot. So, but God protected me. And something was different after that. Just like Simeon had something different after he met Jesus. Something was different about that day. And he knew that his life would be different after that. Fast forward a few years, I can tell you that smoking hot girlfriend of mine, I suckered her into marrying me. We had some kids. Everything was going great. Our girls were really small one time, and we were driving around. I think it might have been after church one Sunday. I'm not sure, but of course we were driving around letting them take a nap in the back seat because, as you know, most kids, as soon as you get out of the driveway, they just fall asleep in the back seat. We were driving down the road, and this guy comes from the road that tees off to where we were going, and he blew right through the stop sign and went right off into the ditch across. Luckily, God showed us what was happening, and God had me slow down so that he didn't hit us when he come through. So we stopped and said, hey, you know, are you okay? Everything okay? Well, turns out the guy had just worked on his brakes on his truck, and apparently he didn't do something right. So when he come to the stop sign, he couldn't stop. And he was, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what was going on. And then he saw the two girls asleep in the back seat. And this dude just lost it because he was the same age as we were. And the realization hit him that he was really close to basically killing an entire family, because he would have hit us full speed, pushed us off into the ditch beside us that was full of water, and it would have been a tragic thing. But his life was different after that. You could see it on his face that he knew that his life was different after that. And if God hadn't protected us, our life would have been different. Our life probably would have stopped then. So that young man, do you think his life was different the next morning when he woke up? Do you think maybe the sun was a little bit brighter the next day? Or maybe the birds were a little bit louder the next day? Do you think Simeon felt different the day after meeting Jesus? The next day he woke up, do you think he felt different? He knew that one chapter of his life had ended and another chapter was beginning after meeting Jesus. Is that true of us? Can we say that our life is different after meeting him? If you would, jump down to verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. Verse 36 through 38 tell us the story of Anna, another person who met Jesus and their life was different afterwards. Verse 36 says, "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Now you read that in the King James and it's a little confusing. So let's read it in the NIV. Maybe make it a little more sense. So verse 36 in the NIV, he says, "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel." Hold on, my thing didn't change here. "Of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying." Verse 38, "Coming up to them," talking about Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus, "at the very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." In other words, she saw there was something different about this child. She saw that this was not just a regular baby that every Jewish family brought their baby to the temple as part of the law. This happened on a regular basis, but there was something different about this baby. And she knew that this was the Messiah. So the Bible says that from then on, she told everybody she met about him and about how he was the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, if you read that, the change, it looks subtle in the scripture, but it's powerful when you think about it. It says she testified about him probably for the rest of her life. And as you see, it says that she never left the temple. She was there day and night. So she probably came in contact with thousands and thousands of people from then on, and she was telling all of them about Jesus. She was sharing with everybody that the Messiah was here, that the redemption of Israel was here. So you can see her life was different, right? After meeting Jesus. Again, is that something that we can say about us? Is our life different? Now, when you think about this, you think, well, this doesn't really sound like much of a Christmas kind of story, does it? But Christmas is about the coming of Jesus Christ, right? About the birth of our Savior. So as we think about, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, let us remember of the time when his life was birthed in us. When Jesus first entered our life on an individual basis, on a personal level, when we met Jesus, when he was born to us, you could say. And we think about how our life has changed since then. So that begs the question, has Jesus come into your life yet? If you're in church the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas, it's probably a safe bet that most of us probably are believers. Most of us have received Christ. But can you say that your life is different now than it was before? That's the question. I know that my life is different. Like I said earlier, I got saved at 16 years old. Okay? Believe it or not, that was like, oh geez, I'm 39 years old now. I know most people don't believe that when I say it, and I think it's the haircut that makes me look like a little kid. But, so I've been saved for like 23 years. I've been in the church longer than I was not in the church, okay? But I can still look back and I can still see how different my life is now than it was before. Because believe it or not, I was a pretty horrible person before I met Jesus. I can guarantee you I wouldn't have had that smoking hot girlfriend at 16 if Jesus hadn't changed my life. I can tell you that for a fact. I was a bully. I was mean. I lost my temper a lot. I was just a terrible human being all the way around. And a lot of you may hear that and think, I just can't picture that. There's no way that goofball standing up there was, you know, mean to people. But that's a testament to the power of Jesus in our life. Because I surely wouldn't be standing up in front of people talking about Jesus, but I wouldn't be half the person I am now if Jesus wasn't in my life, if he hadn't changed me. And he has done so much for my life. You say, oh, well, you know, as a kid, how bad can a kid really be? You know? But then you remember that you have kids and you think, I kind of know how bad kids can be because mine are pretty rough. But trust me when I say that I was a terrible human being before Jesus. I've been in his family for 23 years, like I said. I have come a long way. I still have a long way to go, let me tell you, okay? But it just goes to show how powerful Jesus is in our life, if we allow him to be. So if you say, you know, I can say that I'm saved, that I believe in Jesus and I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't really see much of a difference in my life from before to after. I mean, I'm saved now and I'm going to heaven. I know that, but I wasn't that bad of a person before. You know, I'm sure a lot of you can say that. I can't say that, but you could probably say that. Some of you could. So I pray that God shows you a glimpse of who you really were. Because, and trust me, all it takes is one little bitty snapshot, one little bitty picture of who you used to be. Because when we look back at the past, of course, we kind of do it with rose-colored glasses, right? We kind of see we always talk about the good old days, right? And then you hear your parents, your grandparents talk about the good old days when they had to walk in the snow to school and it was uphill both ways and all that stuff. And you wonder, how was it the good old days if you talk about how bad it was? But we try to think, or we focus on the good things, right? But if we take a minute and we think about who we really were, if we take an honest look at ourselves, we can see that we were not the person we needed to be. That we were a sinner in need of a Savior. Whether we're willing to admit that or not. But you know, there may be some people here today that would be honest and say, you know what? I never have accepted Christ. I've heard people. I've been to church. I know how it all works. I know all the details. I know the ABCs of it. I know all that. I just never have made that decision. Well, if that's you, I want to encourage you that what better time than the Christmas season? What better time to accept Christ than now so you can celebrate your spiritual birthday the same time that we celebrate Jesus' birthday? And you can think about all the gift-giving and all the decorations and think about all of that as being part of your spiritual birthday. Because the Bible says that God throws a party in heaven when somebody gets saved, right? He says all the angels rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could create a party in heaven today because somebody accepted Christ? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That old things have passed away, and that all things become new. So we think about how horrible of a person we were before. It's comforting to know that we're a new person now. We're completely different now than we were before. That we're not the same person. We may look the same. We may feel the same sometimes. We still have the same job. We still have the same family members. We still live in the same place. You know, all of that is still the same, but we're a different person now. And what I think is wonderful is the Bible says that He makes all things new. He doesn't make new things. He makes all things new. And that is great to me because He doesn't get rid of this person and make a new person. He makes us into a new person, right? So it's wonderful that God is willing to do that. It just shows the love that He has for us. The love that He has for mankind on a personal basis. You know, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about you know, the universe and the stars and the galaxies and all that kind of stuff and about how it's all just like a giant clockwork that God created. And it all works out just the way God planned and just the way God put it in place. And to me, that's just a reminder, like Dave was saying, of how big God is. But it's always humbling to know that He's so big, but yet He's so personable. He's so intimate. He cares about you. He not you as a group, but you as an individual. The Bible says that He knows your name. He knows the name of every star in the universe, every star in outer space. But He also knows your name. And He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And He still loves you. He knows everything about you. And He knows the thoughts in your head. He knows when you're driving and when the guy cuts you off in front of you. He knows the words you want to say. He knows all of that. And He loves you. It's funny because I was talking at work the other day to one of my coworkers, and she was talking about how her husband gets road rage really easily, and he gets frustrated when he's driving on the interstate and all that. And She got to where she doesn't like going on road trips with him because he always gets mad and gets to yelling and screaming and all that kind of stuff. And to me, it was funny because when my family goes on road trips, we just sing along with the radio and we just do all this. We're just funny and goofy all the time. I don't get angry anymore. You know, and like I said before, I used to get angry really easy, and I would fly off the handle really fast, and I would get in fights in school, and I would do all of these horrible things. But that just seems so foreign to me. It feels like it was a different person now. It feels like when I think of these memories of how I was before Christ, it feels like I'm remembering a movie I watched. You know, it feels so disconnected from who I am now. And it feels so great to know that God has created that disconnect in me because He has brought me so far. It's so comforting to me when I think about that. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven. How wonderful is it that our sins have been forgiven? Even the sins that we forgot about, even the stuff that didn't seem like a big deal then, or the stuff that was so horrible that we blocked it out of our memory. He forgave us of all of that sin. How wonderful of a feeling that is. So you say, well, if I think back, I can think of a little bit of how I used to be. And yeah, it was bad. And, you know, I've grown. But you might not feel like you've grown that much. You might think, you know, when I think back, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't that bad of a person. I didn't steal stuff. I didn't go around pushing old ladies into traffic. I wasn't robbing banks. I wasn't doing any of the really bad stuff. You know, yeah, I may have picked on somebody in school, or I may have talked back to my parents, or I may have done this, but it wasn't that bad. But the Bible's pretty clear that all sin is the same in God's eyes. That you say, oh, well, that was a little white lie. That wasn't a big deal. But it's all a big deal to Him. But the great thing is that He paid for all of it. How wonderful is it that no matter what, because I've been surprised at how many people I've heard say, you know, I know the story of Jesus, and I know that He wants to save me from my sins, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what I've been through. He can't pay for all of that. Or that He wouldn't want to pay for all that. You know, that I'm like that old rusted out beater that somebody left out in the field for years and has trees growing up through the floorboards, and nobody would want that. Jesus wouldn't want me because I was too bad. I was too far off. You know. But Scripture gives us stories like Paul and gives us stories like Peter and James and John and these stinky fishermen that nobody else wanted anything to do with, and this guy that went around and his sole focus was to beat up people that believed in Jesus. And we have these stories and these testimonies that of how God changed lives from people that were... You have stories of people that were raised up in the faith, and they were raised up and they can't really remember a time when they were not a believer, you know. But then we also get stories of these people that had these drastic changes in their lives. These people like Paul who were murdering people, you know, because they followed Jesus. He wasn't even murdering them for money. He wasn't murdering them for anything like that. It was simply because he thought that their belief in Jesus was reason enough for it. But Jesus saved him. And Jesus saved me. And to know that no matter how bad off you were, no matter how horrible of a person you were, God still loves you. And Jesus still wants that relationship with you. He still wants to have conversations with you. He still wants to spend time with you one-on-one. He still wants to hang out with you. If we put it in today's language, He still wants to just hang out with you and talk with you. It's wonderful when we think of it like that. So, as we celebrate Christmas this year, or as a friend of mine likes to call it, Jesusmas, let's remember that the reason for this is the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the Advent. You know, we do the Advent candles, and Advent is just a fancy word that means coming. It means appearance. It means He showed up. That's Jesus showed up as a baby, born to a woman who was probably a teenager, who was engaged to be married, that to a simple family of a carpenter, you know. But Jesus came into the world through that. And as we celebrate that time, as a society and as a church, as we celebrate Jesus coming, let us celebrate Jesus coming into our lives. Let us remember where we came from, what He saved us out of, where we used to be, so that He took us out of that dirty, muddy clay, and He put our feet on firm ground so that we can continue on and go into the plan that He has for us. Let us remember where we came from, but let's focus on where we're going. Let's focus on the fact that He came once as a baby, but He's going to come again. And when He comes again, He's not coming as a baby in a manger with the little drummer boy and all that, but He's coming as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. And He's coming as not the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So as we remember where we were, and we remember what He's done, let's focus on where we're going. And let's focus on what He has done for us. So with that, let's, if you would stand with me, let's close in prayer. You guys might actually get to the restaurant pretty quick today, so might want to remind Pastor of this next week so that maybe he'll kind of get the hint. But no. If you would bow your heads with me, and as we close in prayer, let's take a minute and let's ask God to show us a picture of where we used to be. Show us just a small snapshot of what He saved us out of. Now we don't want, you know, a 2.5-hour movie of who we used to be, and we don't want to glorify all of our sin. We don't want to put our focus on our sin. But we want God to show us how far we've come. But as we pray today, there may be some people who haven't accepted Christ. They haven't made that shift, that transition. But you know what? If there's somebody here that hasn't accepted that, is it possible that you felt different when you woke up today? That something felt different, that today was a different day. There was just something different about it. Maybe because today is the day that you can accept Christ. Because the Bible is very clear, God doesn't want anybody to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. That's why God is so patient with mankind. He wants everybody to come into relationship with Him. If you haven't done that, it's very simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. as we pray, all you have to do is, it's as simple as ABCs, right? You simply admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Admit that you have done stuff, you have said stuff that is not pleasing to God. And that you can't get yourself out of that mess. You can't fix it yourself. So you admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Then believe that Jesus is the payment for that sin. Believe that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, died a criminal's death, and was resurrected as the Savior of the world. And then the C is simply confess. Confess that you believe. Confess that you used to be a sinner, but you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And confess Him as Lord of your life, as the Master of your life. That's all it takes. Just the ABCs. And the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. That all the angels throw a party when one sinner repents. So let's pray. Father God, I thank You for what You've shown us today. I thank You, Father, I thank You for saving me. I thank You for allowing me to remember who I used to be. And allowing me to see how much You have changed my life. Allowing me to see how bad of a sinner I was. But how great Jesus is. How Jesus is bigger than any sin that I could have ever done. Any single sin, any culmination of sin. It doesn't matter if it was one big one or a bunch of little ones. All of that's irrelevant. Jesus paid for every single sin of mine on the cross. So, Father, I thank You for that. I thank You for saving me. And, Father, if there's anybody here today that says, you know what? I never have accepted Christ, but there's no better day than today. There's no better time than now. There's no need to put it off. There's no need to wait. You don't have to wait for your regular birthday. You don't have to wait till you're a certain age. You don't have to wait until you've read through the Bible all the way. You don't have to wait for anything like that. Father, Your Word tells us that You'll meet us wherever we're at in life. And You'll accept us however we are, but You love us enough not to leave us there. So, Father, if there's anybody here today that says, you know what? I want to make that change today. I pray that You tug at their heart just a little bit harder today, God. And, Father, that You help them to understand that all they have to do is go through the ABCs. All they have to do is admit that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior. Believe that Jesus is that Savior. And then confess that He is Lord of their life from this point forward. Father God, if there's anybody here that made that decision today, I pray that You wrap Your arms around them. And Father, Your Word says that we're not to be led by our feelings, but God, I pray that You allow them to feel Your presence today. Allow them to feel You wrap Your arms around them and give them a big old hug. And that they can feel that heaven is rejoicing because their one person made that decision. So, Father, I thank You. I believe, Father, I feel that there is somebody here God, that's making that decision today. Father, I want to thank you for drawing them, God. I want to thank you for working in their heart, working in their mind, that they can make that decision for you, Lord. But Father, most of the people here today are already believers. You know, most of these people are regular church attenders, and a lot of them I've known and I've talked to, and I know that they're believers, God. So Father, as I pray for the believers here, God, I pray that you show them just a small glimpse of what you saved them out of. And maybe show them a small glimpse of where their life would be right now had they not accepted you. But Father, I don't want them to see that, and I don't want them to be sad about missing out on sin. I don't want them to feel like they missed out on something. But Father, show them the love that you have shown to them through their whole life. The love that you've shown them, how you've brought them out of that miry clay, as your word calls it. You brought them out of that place and brought them into your family. Brought them into your kingdom, Lord God. Father, I thank you so much for this Christmas season that we have. You know, the whole month of December is usually spent with Christmas decorations, and as we talk about Christmas and we tell each other Merry Christmas with all the people we meet. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this whole time that we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. I just pray that as we do that, you help remind us to celebrate when Jesus came into our life. Help us celebrate what Jesus has done for us as a person, as well as mankind. Thank you so much, Lord God. Thank you for you set this whole plan in place before the foundations of the world. Father, your word says that Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world, Lord. You had a plan, and your plan worked perfectly. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.